A reading from the Gospel of Mark. But in those days after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather the elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all of these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert. For you do not know when the time will come. It's like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight or at cockcrow or at dawn. Or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. This is the gospel of grace. Thanks be to God.
In his Nobel Peace Prize lecture, Elie Wiesel retold the old Hasidic legend of Rabbi Baal Shem Tov, who at a perilous time for both Jews and all of humanity attempted to use his mystical powers to hasten the Messiah's arrival. For having tried too hard to meddle in history, the rabbi was punished, sent with his servant to a long away island where they were to live together in exile. Near despair, the servant implored his master to use his powers to bring them back home. But the rabbi could do nothing. My powers have all been taken from me, he said. Then please say a prayer, recite a litany, work a miracle, the servant pleaded. Impossible, the rabbi replied. I have forgotten everything. Then they both fell to weeping. Suddenly the rabbi turned to his servant. Remind me of a prayer, any prayer. If only I could, said the servant, I too have forgotten everything except what, the rabbi asked, except the alphabet. With that, the rabbi rejoiced. Then what were you waiting for? Begin reciting the alphabet and I shall repeat after you. Together, the two began to recite the Hebrew words, letters, Aleph, Beth, Gimel, Daleth. Over and over, they recited louder and louder until finally the rabbi regained all of his powers. In his lecture, Wiesel said he loved the story because it speaks to the messianic hope that the Jewish people still maintain. and to the important role relationships have in helping us to transcend our most trying circumstances. Most of all, Wiesel said, he loved it because it makes the point that the mystical power of memory can help us hold on and begin again, even if and when everything else is lost. Advent begins in messianic hope. There is a plea for the heavens to be opened and Christ to come down. O come, Emmanuel, we sing God's justice and deliverance. We pray that he brings. But like the rabbi in the story, we too have a hard time hastening heaven. We knock, but there's no answer. We plea, but our powers do not prevail. If God would just come down here and rend the veil, if only we could usher in Christ's second coming, war would be no more. Death and disease would be destroyed. We wouldn't have to worry about the 2024 presidential election. Oh, Lord, send your son and your angels now. But in spite of all of the millions upon millions of books sold and sermons preached, all supposedly prophesying exactly when again Christ is coming, a preacher I grew up with told us we should expect him for Sunday dinner. Still, we have seen no sign. The clouds haven't parted. The fig tree hasn't blossomed. And God's kingdom has not yet arrived. So history marches on. Humanity struggles and stumbles on. Loved ones frail and ail, then pass away. As was the case with a family here in our community just a week ago, old and young pass away together. The whole earth passes away, and still the heavens are shut. Heaven and earth pass away, and still the Messiah makes no appearance. So how do we hold on when clearly no miracle is manifest? How do we hope? How, in St. Paul's words, do we hope against hope? How do we go on living in exile? Today's gospel lesson was likely written sometime just after the fall of Jerusalem and the destruction of the Jewish temple in 70 AD. Both Jews and also early Christians were devastated by the destruction. The city was razed to rubble. Hundreds of thousands and maybe as many as a million lost their lives. Untold numbers were captured and carried off into captivities, and others fled in terror. It was the end of the world as they knew it. And everything was turned over and around, and all order and predictability was lost. In the apocalyptic language, the fixed stars had fallen and the sun was dying. It was as if heaven and earth were both dying. And still there was no miracle. Though some said he would surely come, there was no Messiah. And beside the rivers of Babylon, the people sat down and wept. And some despaired and some fainted for fear and foreboding of what was still to come upon the earth. And that was when someone, we do not really know his name, but we call him Mark, remembered what Jesus himself had said in those last days of his in Jerusalem, prophesying the fall of the temple and the destruction of the city and the terror and the plight of all of the people. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be wars and there will be rumors of war. And the powers of the heavens, symbols of all of the political forces of the earth, will be shaken. Heaven and earth as you know it will be shaken. And in fact, he said, they will both pass away. But my words will never pass away. Words were true, Mark was saying. Miracle or no miracle. Temple or no temple. City or no city. Home or exile. Life or even death. Even though all of the world as they knew it was passing away, the words would not pass away. The word would go on living, and all that Jesus said and taught and told his disciples to teach would go on living also. And those words would give his people the strength and the courage to go on living in exile also. We all have our times and our seasons when the world as we know it falls apart. A job is lost. A bright shining star at its zenith is felled. A tragedy strikes a family. A tragedy strikes a nation. We wish that we could storm the gates of heaven and compel the Messiah to come down. We bargain with God to get down here and be God. But no light comes. And the clouds do not depart. The Messiah stays put. And in times like these, we are really left with only one thing. With words. Words given to us to help us hold on. Words spoken to us to help us hope on. Words, simple little letters of the alphabet, written upon our hearts in times past to help us remember and to hold on in times present. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Truth crushed to earth shall rise again. Your brother shall live again. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it again. Christ will come again. The moral arc of the universe is long, but it bends towards justice. Government of the people and by the people and for the people shall not perish from the earth. For behold, I am creating a new heaven and a new earth. This is how we hold on, beloved, with words. When all else passes away, we still have the words from times past to give us hope and comfort in times present for the sake of courage and conviction in times future. And the mystical power of memory helps us to hold on even when everything else is lost. In a moment, we will take the Lord's Supper. It is a meal of remembrance. Here we gather together to remember Christ's presence, even when our world is broken and our lives are torn apart. Christ is present. That is what his last words on that last night of his life tell us. And we proclaim his death, Paul says, until he comes. Christ is dead, Christ is risen, but Christ will come again. Messiah will come again. So we wait. And as we wait in the promise of his words. Words which are, for us, the very words of life itself. Words which give us hope and strength and comfort and the peace that surpasses all understanding. Words which give life even in the very midst of death. Words which themselves, Jesus told us, will never, ever pass away. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Mother of us all, and together all of God's people do say, Amen.